Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Well, good morning, patriots. Welcome to the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. We are broadcasting on 96.5 FM and the AM dial at 630 kilohertz, unless you're listening to the live streaming or maybe later on the podcast. But good morning nonetheless, and good morning, Lady Liberty.
Well, good morning to you, and good morning, everyone out there. Welcome to Thrashacommy Thursday. And yes. We're going to do it again today.
This is just what we do.
It is. Yes,
like
that's right.
Every morning. And,
yep. We praise the Lord. We honor the Lord. And we share the truth in the news. And we let evil have it. Give evil the backhand. Not the people, but the actions.
Stand against wickedness.
Yep, that's right.
And now we don't hate them.
No,
we don't. I hate evil. I hate wickedness. I hate lies. I want to hate the things that God hates. I want to love the things that God loves.
That's right.
Like I've said before, the things that bring the Lord joy, my prayer is that those things would bring me joy too.
Yep.
And that I don't just overlook those, that His will is my will. His mind is well, it'd be great if His mind became my mind too. If I could wrap my mind around a lot of the things, the Lord's ways are mysterious to me still, but I also want to, I want to love the things that He loves.
Well, and we want to be clear that we don't hate any person. We love people and we hate evil sin. We hate evil actions and we can't stand for evil actions,
right,
no matter who does it. And so, but if those people are willing to repent and, turn from their wicked ways, then we are super, super excited about that. And we would totally support that.
It was really cool because I want to share this testimony before we go into the Word of God, because this really is what we're talking about here. There was a prayer group in Portland, Oregon, over the weekend. And they were attacked by a group of Antifa.
Yep.
And one of the pastors that was there was the pastor that we've talked about before. He's originally from Poland, moved to Canada. He's got a church. They were holding church despite the COVID lockdown measures where they live. And a health worker shows up with police officers in tow, telling them they're in violation. He ran them out of there.
Yep.
He says, communism's not welcome here. You go. Get out of here, Gestapo.
He chased them hard, and he just barked them all the way off of his property.
Yep.
I was
so proud
watching that guy do that.
Yeah. So he's a guest speaker, guest pastor at this prayer event in Portland, Oregon this last weekend, and they were attacked by Antifa.
Yep.
There was a small group, a small prayer group. And then the next day, I mean, it's like hundreds and hundreds of Christians responded by coming down to that park and holding a massive prayer vigil. Right. So the Antifa that were throwing paint bombs and fireworks at children, they had children as young as, like, I don't know, it's like 8 months old all the way up to like 10 years old, throwing these, explosive fireworks into the crowd, lobbing all kinds of debris at them and attacking them and spraying with mace and everything. Well, one of the pastors that got hit by these guys is that pastor. And but here's the cool thing. Now, I'm all for taking out the tactical skillets, right?
The
cast iron tactical frying pans and letting Antifa have it. Standing against evil, when you're being attacked, you have the right to defend yourself.
You have the right to defend
Matter
yourself.
Matter of fact, especially when the children and women are there, you have a duty
to protect
to
them
defend.
As well. Yep.
Yes, absolutely. And so standing, we're at war, and when you're attacked by an enemy, a communist revolutionary forces, you defend.
Yep.
And that's absolutely right. But here's a cool thing. One of the Antifa guys who was involved in the melee and the attack on the Christians went back later and gave his life to Christ. He became a Christian.
Yep.
And that is just a remarkable story. What a testimony and what a loss to the enemy. That's what we want. Yep. We don't want to have to fight them. We don't want to. They're headed for hell. They're lost. They're separated from God. They're at war with God.
Right.
And we don't want to have to battle it out with people.
Right.
What we want is for them to come to know the Lord. You know.
Right. Why I so love that scripture that says, "Come, let us reason together." You know, I mean, let's bring your questions and let's go over the answers and let's just reason it out. And nobody does that better than Ray Comfort. You know, I mean, that guy is just straight to the point.
He's got it down.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, so that was just a really cool testimony. But you know, still, we're glad he came over, and I hope there's follow up there that he's going to be mentored and discipled. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just a great thing. But there is still an enemy that's not repentant, and we are to stand against them, and we are to defend when we're being attacked, our nation, or your prayer group in a park.
Right.
You know, and that's what they did. They ended up disengaging from them. But, yeah, there's definitely some evil, hostile forces.
Right. So,
and, you know, and that's another cool thing. Pray for your enemy in spite of them.
Yeah. In fact, Luke 6:27-28 says, let's just go over this again so that we all have it straight. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you.
Yep. Yep.
Yep.
Very cool.
That is how you love your brother.
Right. And not backing down. I mean, this is what's over at faithwire.com. The headline is, "We didn't back down. Christians respond to Portland Antifa attack with a massive worship rally."
Yeah.
And so that's awesome to have, you know, that type of courage. The Christians came back in force, were not intimidated, didn't back down. And so, you know, praise God.
Yep, absolutely. That's exactly. Well, that is keeping the two commandments. Love God with all your heart. Love your brother as yourself.
That's right.
And yeah, that's awesome.
All right. So, man, that's a good setup for us to go into the word of the day. And I don't even know what you have in store.
Okay.
What did the Lord reveal to you?
This is so remarkable because we just, not yesterday, but the day before, we kind of just wrapped up the summary of Hosea, right? That we went through it kind of in detail and took several days to do it. And I was thinking, okay, well, so good. I'll just leave that with the listeners if they want to go and read the whole book of Hosea.
Which was
themselves.
What we left them with. We encouraged them, go and read the whole book for yourself.
Yeah, go and read it for yourself. There's so much good content in there. And so today, when I sat down and prayed for the Lord to show me the word that, you know, that he wanted me to read it. You're not going to believe this. Well, I believe it now. I mean, but
I believe
it turned right to Hosea, the first page of the first chapter of Hosea. And I went, No way. So the Lord's basically saying, oh no, we're not done with Hosea.
And it wasn't because you bookmarked it or had a little piece of paper stuck in there.
There is no marking. There's nothing. There's no bookmarker. There's nothing there. And in fact, when I closed it, I had a hard time finding it again. But when, you know, that's how it works. I mean, the Lord does that with me and always has. And he even did that through my property rights group so that I could find information in 230-page documents instantly.
Right.
And it was mind-blowing. So here it is again. And so I went, well, okay, Lord, well, let's dig in a little bit more. And I'm really, really glad that I did because I haven't read this book for quite some time. I mean, I'm very familiar with it and I have read it. But there are some things that really stuck out. And this continuation of God is love, right?
Yes.
And this is why he wanted me to go through. And we're going to cover some more details of Hosea. We're not going to do it all today, obviously. But some of the things that stood out to me as I started reading were that that the names of the children of Hosea, the harlot that Hosea had to marry, the names of the children. The first one is Jezreel, which means God scatters, and that was a son. And then she had a girl who the Lord told Hosea to name Lo Ruhamah, which means no mercy. And so saying that the Lord is saying, I will no longer have mercy on the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. Yet I will have mercy on the house of Judah, will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword or battle or by horsemen. And that's where actually the angel of the Lord killed 185,000 Assyrians for them. And,
right.
And thus, more or less postponing the fall of Jerusalem for almost 150 years, according to 2 Kings 19. And so then she has a third child who is also a son, and his name is Lo-Ami or Lo-Ami, which means not my people. So all three of these children are the message that God is sending, and all three together read, God scatters in this battle. First of all, he's going to destroy Israel in the battle, and send them off. And then he's not going to show them mercy, no mercy. And he's going to declare that they are not my people. And so,
and that's when they went into captivity to Babylon.
Yeah. Right. Right.
And, or the Assyrians.
Yeah. And so, well,
so this is amazing because this, it's not just the harlot is a picture, an image of Israel's unfaithfulness to God. They're essentially adultery, spiritually speaking.
Right.
They're adultery. And basically what he said, your harlotry, right?
Yeah.
So Hosea is marrying a harlot. So there's just one picture alone with the relationship between the wife, the bride, Israel, and God. But then the children are also part of this picture through their names, to scatter and to not have mercy on them.
Right.
And then, what was the third one?
It means that you're not my people.
Oh yeah. No longer my people.
Yep. And so Israel's being judged. Judah is okay because Judah, upheld the Lord. And so,
right.
It was just Israel that God wanted to punish, and he did. And so in chapter 2, there was something that stood out to me that I have missed before. And it says here, what he's doing with the harlot of Israel says, let her put away her harlotries from her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and expose her as in the day she was born. And so what stood out about that was that this spirit of harlotry is what has come over the nation at this point and caused them to leave the Lord. It, both a combination of the wine and the harlotry, caused them to depart from the Lord. And so the fact that he says, let her put away her harlotries from her sight. I went, oh, in a similar way that we have pervasive perversion through everything pornography these days, that
yeah.
you practically have to run from it everywhere you go, right? And so that's in our sight. And so he actually says, let her put away her harlotries from her sight. And
that's an interesting thing to focus in on, because we're talking about the visual aspects of it and you're talking about pornography, but
right.
What they were doing back then, they were worshiping Baal.
Right.
Right. And there was, and the
Ashtoreth.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
But that involved sexual rituals built, interwoven with
worship.
Their worship.
Of,
they didn't
Baal.
Have,
yeah.
And they didn't have pornography back then, but these were like
live
shows. These
yeah.
were,
and so
that
these,
was the
so,
pornography at that time.
Exactly. So it was the thing that they were viewing.
Right.
And so, oh, that was stunning to me. And so, then it says in 6 through 8, it says, therefore, behold, I will hedge up your way with thorns and wall her in so that she cannot find her paths. She will chase her lovers but not overtake them. Yes, she will seek them but not find them. Then she will say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then it was better for me than now. For she did not know that I gave her grain, new wine, and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. And so he's describing that she didn't understand. Here she was being blessed, but not by her husbands or her lovers, but by the Lord. And the Lord was trying to bless her, and he is her true husband, just like he's all of our husband. And then it says, she decked herself with earrings and jewelry and went after her lovers, but me she forgot, says the Lord. And so, I mean, this is when it gets to be really very, very interesting. And he says, therefore, behold, I will allure her, will bring her into the wilderness and speak comfort to her. And then later in verse 19, it says, I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. And so this is kind of like what we're talking about, like how to love your brother in government, like being given the opportunity to take advantage of the situation to better everybody. Instead of take advantage of them in a way that's going to harm them, you're going to take advantage of your position to do really, really super great things for people.
Right.
And so just like this, God is taking advantage of the fact that she's been cast out of society. She's been shamed by everybody, you know, stripped bare naked in front of everybody. She had to run in shame, more or less. And there she's stuck in the wilderness with nobody but God. And he takes full advantage of it to comfort her and to bring her back to him. And I went, wow,
all of this is a picture of how God deals with a nation that honored and glorified him, that he showed favor to, that turned on him, turned away from him.
That's right.
And the
over and
series,
over.
Yeah, the series of things that take place are all pictured in this one family with Hosea and his wife and the children, even to their names, what their names mean. So as a country, America, we could say this country was founded giving God the glory,
right?
Founded by on godly principles, scriptural principles, who have committed adultery, have turned away. We've chased other things, other values, other standards, other than what he has, from the top down. I mean, we've got a corrupt government, but I mean, our people are corrupt.
Right.
You know, and, right down to the core.
And listen to this, verse 23 in chapter 2, it says, then I will sow her for myself in the earth, and I will have mercy on her who had not obtained mercy. Then I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people, and they shall say, you are my God. And so that is outstanding that he takes advantage of the situation to bring a very, very mature and very it's an amazing love.
High ground. It's such a high ground.
Yeah.
Move.
So we're not talking about the love of God. We're talking about the mature love of God.
Right.
Where he sees all the stuff that everybody does, that we all do, that we even think, that we intend even within the heart. Mm-hmm. And he just is just desperate for the opportunity where he can seize the opportunity and be kind to you and bring you back.
Right.
Isn't that awesome?
That is awesome. Well, thank you for that. That's a little more in depth than we usually get on these, but there's so much there to kind of unwrap and peel the layers back of this. It's deep. It's pretty cool. So,
well, and there's just one more section that I'm going to do tomorrow on this, and then I think we're probably done, but it's so deep and it's so, so very rich.
Very cool.
Yep.
Well, looking forward to that too. All right then. Well, let's go ahead and take a break and come back with segment two. We're going to thrash on some commies. It's kind of weird to go from one.
Well, you know, the Lord doesn't like evil either. So, you know.
No, he did some thrashing too.
Oh, yes. Way worse than we do.
Oh, boy. So, all right. Well, segment one is brought to you by Prepping 2.0 with Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher over there at the podcast, helping to take your preps to the next level. It is Prepping 2.0 is the name of the podcast, and the website is prepping2-0.com. This is The Morning Commute, and we'll be back right after this.
How do communists gain control of non-communist governments? Let's take a look. By military occupation. By expelling non-communist officials. By the army appointing puppet officials. By obtaining military and police powers. Controlling the legislative procedures. By propaganda creating political and economic unrest. Controlling the courts. Terrorizing political and economic opponents. By obtaining government positions and secrets.
Abe Lincoln here. In 1773, patriots broke the chains of British tyranny by throwing tea into Boston Harbor. On that day, Americans began drinking coffee. We celebrate that event daily here at Minutemen Coffee. All men are created equal. Coffee is not. Minutemen Coffee is roasted to perfection in small batches. Bold, smooth, and never bitter. Shipped to you fresh daily. Whole bean, ground, or our patented pods. www.minutemencoffee.com.
Well, welcome back from the break. This is segment two of the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. Hopefully you guys are having a good, safe commute. And let's see. Segment two brought to you by U.S. Law Shield. They provide legal defense for self-defense. If you ever find yourself in a situation where you have to defend yourself, whether it's with your hands or with a firearm, anywhere in between, you're most likely guaranteed you're going to be facing some type of legal ramifications. And you don't want to go through that alone. They're there to help you, whether it's criminal or civil, and including red flag law situations as well. It's with the Radio Free Redoubt listener discount, it's just $11 a month. You can't afford not to have that.
That's right.
Go to RadioFreeRedoubt.com and click on the U.S. Law Shield banner on the right-hand side of the page. And here we are, segment two, Lady Liberty. We've got some commies to thrash now.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, so who do you want to... You go ahead.
You want me to get? Okay,
I know
you've
got one lined up already.
Yeah, I do. And okay, so the first one comes to us from an article that just popped up onto my screen from the Epoch Times titled, "The Pentagon Service Members..." From the Pentagon, service members can request exceptions to COVID vaccine mandate. And so... what we're talking about here is religious exemptions, obviously. But before we get into that, I just wanted to point out that Lloyd Austin, the defense secretary, announced that the Department of Defense would require all active duty military members to get a COVID vaccine.
Yeah.
And so he also said this, and I've got contradictory evidence right against this thing that he said. He says, "I want you to know that I will seek the president's approval to make the vaccines mandatory no later than mid-September or immediately upon the U.S. Food and Drug Administration licensure, whichever comes first," Austin said in a memo sent to all Pentagon employees. Well, why would he tell the Pentagon employees that when in actuality the memo that he wrote, I've got a copy from a military member that was written on August 9th, 2021 that says... Mm-hmm. Message to the force. "As many of you know, President Biden asked me to consider how and when we might add the coronavirus disease 2019 COVID-19 vaccines to the list of those required for all service members. So over the last week, I have consulted closely with the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the secretaries of the military departments, the service chiefs, and medical professionals. I appreciate greatly the advice and counsel they provided." And so did you catch that? In the article, he says, "I will seek the president's approval to make vaccines mandatory," as if it was his idea.
Right.
And that it wasn't Biden, but right here in his actual memo to the other military members, he says, "President Biden asked me to consider how and when we might add the coronavirus disease COVID-19 vaccines." And so somebody's got something funny going on. We know, of course, it came down from the top of the Biden communist coup regime. And so I don't know what the point of that is, why they would even lie as to who directed it or who started it. Probably because Biden and Harris don't want to have the military come after them.
Right.
Once everybody starts dying from this vaccine. And so anyway, this approval process is a religious exemption, but they say you've got to go through a process to get that approved. Troops who have pre-existing medical conditions or on the advice of their physician might not have to take the vaccine, Kirby told Fox News on August 10th. But if you're just objecting because you're objecting, once it's become mandatory, that's a lawful order, and our expectation is that you're going to obey that order. Nobody's looking for strong punitive disciplinary measures here. Frankly, we believe that most troops will respond positively to the order, just like they do in every other mission-critical order that they're issued. But there are tools available to commanders, short of disciplinary action, to try to get soldiers to do the right thing. And so it sounds like what everybody in the military needs to do to avoid getting this vaccine, this false vaccine, the death and maiming vaccine.
Yeah, the clot shot.
Is they need to Google all of the biblical verses that have things to do with my body is the temple of the Lord. The mark of the beast will keep me out of heaven. And surely they probably would believe with all their heart that this has to be the mark of the beast, right?
Yeah. Well, they're just going to be pushing this so hard that they're going to be making the soldiers say, okay, religious exemption, great. Show me in the Bible where it says you can't get a vaccine.
Right, exactly. And so
that's the kind of stuff they're going
to pull.
These
are the things like also things that you need to look up and have on a piece of paper, commit them to memory so that you've got your ducks in a row. Quote the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not lie. Therefore, I cannot tell a lie or support a lie. And this vaccine is a lie and doesn't stop anybody from getting COVID. And you believe that totally with your whole heart. And so dig up all of those kind of biblical verses so that you know exactly what you're going in to say. And they don't just overlook you and say, oh, you just don't want to do it. You want to protect yourself. And so, I think that's probably their best course of action.
Yeah, for right now. We're going to keep adding to that, too. More resources are going to come forward, and I know there's some people a lot smarter than us, lawyers, that will be working on exactly how to word this so that you will be able to get the vaccine exemptions for, religious exemptions in the military.
Right.
But, well, we're out of time. Sorry I didn't get to – I had several.
Oh, shoot.
But maybe tomorrow. So – all right, you guys be blessed. Have an awesome day, and we'll see you right here tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. for the morning commute.
That's right. Have a thankful Thrasher Call Me Thursday, and blessings to all of you Christian patriots out there.